Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, and tonight it is your week in review show covering everything that happened on Raw, SmackDown, including the Roman Reigns-Drew McIntyre confrontation. Do you think it was a little early to pull the trigger on this, or did WWE strike gold? That and a whole bunch more, including an early preview of Survivor Series right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? 'Cause Stone Cold said so.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast, your week in review for this November 15th, 2020. How's everybody doing out there? I hope things are going well as we are halfway through November already. Things are just, man, they're flying like crazy. But hey, we're here for you whether we have a second wave of coronavirus or not, which seems to be what the case is. But hey, 2020, there's not really much else that this year could do to us that we would be surprised about. So we're going to be the consistent voice of reason here to get you away from everything that may be stressing you out. And we're here for your wrestling pleasure. So sit back and relax as we talk about wrestling for the next hour or so and everything that happened this week in WWE. And of course, looking ahead to Survivor Series just a bit. I don't want to tip my hand on too many predictions. That'll be coming next week as the go-home shows for Raw and SmackDown are going to take place. And then we will have a full preview and prediction show on Saturday. In 6 days, we'll have a preview and prediction show for Survivor Series. So that'll be a blast as we get ready for yet another WWE pay-per-view. I mean, it feels like we just closed out the last one. And we're flying through these. The next thing you know, it's TLC and then Royal Rumble. We are two pay-per-views away from the Royal Rumble. Let that sink in. I mean, we're getting close to WrestleMania season. And it's really just insane to think that we're, you know, just outside of that reach of WrestleMania season, about 2 months away. And then, hey, are we looking at another WrestleMania in front of nobody? I hope not. I think we're all ready for fans to be back. But certainly the numbers of the virus spreading do not also line up with that hopefulness, right? So certainly let's talk about wrestling, though, because it was a weird SmackDown, good SmackDown, and bad all at once. I had so many emotions running through SmackDown, and yes, this is a week in review. I say this every week, but I want to make sure that you guys know, of course, I do a full Raw review, so me doing a full Raw review again would not make a whole bunch of sense, but I will touch on some Raw topics. But this tends to trend in the way of SmackDown for my thoughts because you haven't heard him yet. And Michael Ritter, who's a host on this show, does a great job covering it, but nothing wrong with an alternate perspective. So, alrighty. Well, and one more thing before I get into SmackDown, which I have very, very, very mixed thoughts on. And I almost came on and just blew a gasket on something. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I want to let you know we will be bringing on a female host. So that'll be a lot of fun. And announcements are forthcoming. But I'm excited to be able to bring a female voice to the wrestling world because it's certainly, I think, not as common, certainly as the men's driven podcast about wrestling. And it's good, not just because she's a female, and I'll give you more details later, but also because when you're just good at wrestling, you have a passion for it. Doesn't matter whether you're a man or woman. I think that it is it's a good thing to bring that passion onto this show, particularly because we are built around that. You know, I'm very proud of what we've built here, being a very authentic show. You know, we don't cover anything up. We don't feel like we have an agenda. We just talk about passion. And you know what? There are other shows out there that are really good. And yes, they're way more successful. And we all know what they are and who they are. And congrats to them. But what I think we bring to the table is a sense of real emotion for the product. Not just, I'm on here to talk about doing a robot analysis. And yeah, I'm super smart about wrestling, but I don't have a passion for... Like, there are so many people out there that are smarter than me about wrestling. They are bigger audiences than this show. But, you know, I also think that we, again, differentiate ourselves because we have a true passion and we let it show on this show. We don't just talk about wrestling and then, you know, go home. You know, more often than not, we have hosts on here that drive that passion, that show that passion, and hopefully you guys feel that. And that's really what this is about. And I stay true to that because if you don't have a passion for this, what the hell are you doing? Right? Like, you don't last long in podcasting or anywhere if you don't have a passion for it. Okay, enough of that inspirational nonsense. Let's get to what really made me just conflicted. This made me so conflicted. And what I'm talking about is Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns on SmackDown, which was clearly the biggest story coming out of SmackDown this week. Really, maybe even WWE outside of Zelina Vega. I'm going to give some final thoughts on that in a couple of minutes too. But outside of that, in storyline, fantasy land, this really, initially, I'll tell you this. When Drew McIntyre showed up on SmackDown after Roman Reigns came out, and having Paul Heyman at his side, which is actually kind of a weird thing that Roman Reigns almost doesn't need Paul Heyman. When you feel like if you're constructing this storyline, you probably think that Paul Heyman is going to be a massive crutch for Roman Reigns from a promo perspective. And it's almost as if he doesn't need him, which is crazy. But Roman's comes out and, hey, Drew McIntyre is soon to follow as Roman doesn't even consider Drew McIntyre. And then Drew comes out. Now, I initially was pissed about this. And I don't know why I should be. I should just at this point expect WWE to just not care. I don't know why I get angry at these things because I know they're going to do them anyway. And what I mean by that is, what the hell is a Raw star doing on SmackDown? Yep. You know, I mean, seriously, I understand it's Drew McIntyre. I understand it's Roman Reigns. But do we not get any explanation? There was no explanation. None. Nothing. Zero. Nobody bothered to explain why, especially a star of Drew McIntyre's caliber, was on SmackDown. And you can bet anything, you can bet your bottom dollar, that Roman Reigns will be on Raw. And he will cost Drew McIntyre the chance to win the championship. So he'll face Randy Orton at Survivor Series, and they'll build this program out to Mania. And if that's the case, I guess that's the other side of the argument. Fine. But why can you have done this at Survivor Series when both of them are on the show and it makes sense that, okay, they cross paths? They have no respect for their own rules of the draft. It's infuriating. It's infuriating. And honestly, it's insulting as a fan, which makes you care even less than you normally would, if at all, about the Survivor Series nonsense of Raw versus SmackDown, because there's no loyalty. You can just go to any brand because, hey, I just feel like showing up tonight. And Adam Pearce goes, oh, it's an unsanctioned match. That's really the extent of them acknowledging that he's a Raw star. Well, if he's there legally and no one's kicking him out, why isn't it sanctioned? It's so stupid. I'm over this. I'm over this. And then they try to do the catch-all of, oh, this is a wild card rule. Or the quarterly invitational. That got thrown out the window after a few weeks. And they try to do these things so that, you know, fans like myself, who pay attention to these things, have a reason to fall back on, a justification by WWE of why somebody's on a brand that they shouldn't be on, that they weren't drafted to. But the problem is, they don't even hear to that, because they've far exceeded the wild card rule. They've far exceeded the quarterly invitational.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And then they just have people show up with no explanation. Nobody says anything about it. Oh my God, it's Drew McIntyre. No one even goes, why is he here? How is he here? Why is security not, you know, nothing. We're all just supposed to accept it like sheep. This is the problem. And I'm speaking to fans here. I mean, I'm done with WWE's creative, or Vince, really, from this perspective of detail. It's not even detail. It's main story level. Like, this is a major plot hole. You do all this effort for the draft. You build weeks and weeks of this, and then there's no explanation as to why somebody can just show up on another brand. Nothing. And the fact that WWE thinks that they can get away with this without fans actually getting angry is kind of disappointing, honestly. And I think it's disappointing from the perspective of maybe they are getting away with it with fans not actually vocalizing their displeasure with this. Or maybe most fans don't care. I care. I care because you're negating the point of the draft. You're insulting the intelligence of fans, and it's effing lazy. It's effing lazy. That you just have, and this, again, I'm getting angry, not just because this is a one-time thing. This is going to be ongoing forever. The draft happened, a month ago? And then they had people, their final farewell, this and that. No, the draft happened. It's done. It's over. These people are on this brand. These people are on this brand. There's no final farewells. There's no final matches, final whatever. No. That annoyed me, right? And then you have Drew McIntyre show up, which, again, I think I've vented my frustration, and if you guys feel the same way, or you don't, or you think I'm overreacting, please let me know. I really don't think I am. I was really just, I don't even know what to say about it anymore. It's as if we're being told one story, and then they can't even adhere to their own story they're creating. It's not that hard. But beyond that stupidity, and laziness from WWE of not sticking to their own draft. They can't even do it for a few weeks beyond that, which I could rant for about, I could rant the entire show, but I won't. beyond that whole silliness, did they pull the trigger on this too soon? Right? Do you think that Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns is happening too soon, or is it its setup for WrestleMania? Maybe it's a setup for WrestleMania, and if that's the case, then I understand why they did this. I just wouldn't have done it without an explanation. We could have at least got some dumb explanation from Adam Pearce that I approved a Raw superstar to come over tonight to make a statement. Boy, they love that phrase, don't they? Make a statement, send a message. They love those things. You can play a drinking game out of those. I'm serious. How many times a night are we going to hear the phrases, send a message, right? Send a message, making a statement. They even have it on WWE.com half the time. Oh, Drew McIntyre makes a statement. Hey, can we find more different words? I mean, somebody pick up a thesaurus. Please. Please. And by the way, while I'm on a rant of things that annoy me lately, I apologize for all the negativity, but guys, this is what I'm talking about. Like, when I've been watching the product for so long, when it feels so corporate and micromanaged, it bleeds through the screen and it overtakes the story I'm watching. So what I was going to say is boss time. Can we please have Michael Cole wear a shock collar so that every time he says boss time, we can buzz it as fans? Please. Just kind of train him like a dog to just please stop saying it. It's as bad or almost as bad as when he would say the big dog for like years before Roman Reigns turned heel. It was almost his entire run as a single star. As a babyface, he would say, and here comes the big dog, right? Now it's boss time. Can we please, somebody, can I do like a GoFundMe for a shock collar for Michael Cole? I'm sure that he's told to say it. I'm sure it's just a knee-jerk reaction at this point. But I don't know why that annoys me so much. Maybe it's just my mood. So back to my story at hand here. If this is a storyline between Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns that is leading to WrestleMania, then starting now, I appreciate. I will say that. I appreciate if this is a long-term story arc and it leads to a WrestleMania match, because I think it is a WrestleMania match. Certainly. I know there's a lot of people that are thinking that The Rock is going to come back and face Roman Reigns. I would unfortunately pour cold water on that for a couple of reasons, and I've outlined this in several shows, I think even my mailbag episode last week, that The Rock's character, just like so many, are built around crowd interaction, built around that energy. And when his character has his soul taken away of no fans, then I don't think it works for his character. I don't think it would be as exciting for him to come back or as incentivizing or tempting for him to come back with no fans there. So assuming we don't have fans at WrestleMania, which I'm going to go with that assumption in person, that we do not have fans at WrestleMania. We'll probably have a vaccine out by then, but Ticketmaster is already talking about proving somehow that you've been vaccinated within X number of days. You know, I know the vaccine's not out, but that's what they're talking about and their plans moving forward. Because, listen, there's billions of dollars being lost right now. Ticketmaster sales, venues are losing money, people have lost their jobs in the venues, from the people that sell you the hot dogs, the security at the door, people working in the restaurants that are in those buildings. So many jobs have been lost and revenue has been lost. So this can't go on forever. So if they're trying to get a way where you could get in the building if you prove you've got you've been vaccinated, I mean, there's a little bit of, I guess, constitutional problems there. So I'll leave politics out of it. But my point is, I do not believe there will be fans in attendance, probably in mass, probably for another year. And I can't believe I'm saying that. I mean, coming up on, 8 months now since the pandemic happened in March. So it's been 8 months and we're already talking about, 2022 of when maybe things could return to normal. So I just don't think The Rock would be a good fit for that environment. I would do it, if possible, next year at WrestleMania in front of fans. unless, you know, or maybe we're all shocked and things turn around and, oh my God, people are just taking risks. It's at your own risk, which honestly, I think people should just do things at their own risk anyway. You're in charge of your own life. That's how I position it. But nonetheless, I'm getting a little bit off track and into politics. So, okay. So I don't think The Rock is going to be back this year, which if they are doing a Drew McIntyre storyline from now through March and April, awesome. I applaud that, and I think it's a great idea. Now, if they are not doing that, and it's a one-off to try to spin ratings, then shame on them times 10. You know, if it's for a one, and again, SmackDown ratings actually tanked this week. They were down. So, it's certainly didn't work if that was the case. And while I'm on kind of tangents here, how many championship matches are we going to give away on TV? I mean, really. We've seen how many Raw Women's Championship matches over the last couple of months on free TV. We've seen the tag team belts, you know, act as if it's defended on a weekly basis. Now we're seeing the WWE Championship be defended on Raw, which again, I think is to set up Roman screwing Drew, which ends up to Orton facing Reigns at Survivor Series and long-term sets up Drew versus Reigns.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That's what I think. It's a setup for that. But my point is, how many championship matches are we going to see on free TV? I don't want it on free TV. I do not want them on free TV. Because if you have them on free TV, well, then why am I bothering getting the network? Because championship matches should feel special. They should feel like they're a big deal. They should feel like you need to do something extra to see the payoff. And yes, I understand. More often than not, the championship matches lead to the champion retaining by hook or crook. I mean, that's a very high percentage. I don't know the exact percentage, but it is. But I don't know. I mean, it just also, not only that with the network, but it also makes the championships as a whole, all championships, feel less valuable. Because they're defended so frequently and on free TV. It doesn't feel like you ever need to do something extra. It doesn't feel like you need to go to the network to see a championship match. When championship matches used to feel special. They used to feel unique. They used to feel rare. They used to feel like they were fought and scratched and clawed for. And now they're just given away. Especially by babyface champions that Vince McMahon views as everyone needs to come out and declare that they're a fighting champion. And everybody that comes to face them, they will defend their championship. Because that's the kind of champion they want to be. Spare me. Please. Spare the pain. I don't know why this is a declaration that every babyface champion, specifically when they win them at WrestleMania or SummerSlam and overcome a big obstacle, and they have that mission statement, they have that big promo with the belt for the first time, they always need to declare that they are going to defend it against anybody, all comers, that they're going to be a fighting champion. Please that actually, again, that is such a reverse way to really make the championships feel special, because you're just giving an opportunity to anybody. You know, you should have more respect for the championships more than your ego. To me, when you really dissect this, and boy, I know I'm going way off. I've got a lot more to talk about, I promise. But when you dissect that statement, you all know what I'm talking about. Every time this happens, Drew McIntyre is guilty of it too. When he came out for winning the championship from Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, he came out and said the same thing. You're a fighting champion. All the time. When you think about this, and them saying that is actually putting their own ego first rather than concerning themselves with the respect of the championship and the value of the championship, because they're more concerned about defending it by showing people who they are and making sure that they feel good about themselves, rather than being concerned with the championship's value and the respect and the lineage of that championship that they're holding. Yeah, I broke it down a little bit, grounded it down to a fine powder, as they say. All right, so moving on to the actual match itself between Drew and Jey Uso. I still love the dynamic between Jey and Roman. They've certainly got some things to solve or resolve for themselves. They're not working completely buttery smooth, but Jey Uso coming out and getting in Drew's face and then Roman scolding him for doing that. I don't need you to get in my business. And then coming out at the end of the match between Jey and Drew and saying that, I don't care if you you win. I don't care if you beat him. You know, I want you to show him. I believe that was the phraseology that he used. And then Jey just went to town and, you know, went, I don't know how many haymakers on Drew McIntyre, who really no sold it, which I wasn't a fan of. I mean, I don't know. Sorry, guys. I'm in like a rant mood. For those of you that are like, oh my God, it's all he is negative. No. I stand by everything I say. I do not backtrack or go, I'm so sorry, guys, that I ranted. Never. Right? Like, this is honesty at its best with wrestling. And I tell you when it's great, and I tell you when it sucks, and I tell you when things are missing, or the moments that stick with me forever, that's just what it is. But Drew McIntyre, no-sold about 20 haymakers from Jey Uso, got up and claymored, and that was the end of it. It wasn't my favorite. I mean, Drew got the win, and it made sense, and he stared down Roman as he did it, and then they had a stare down, and SmackDown went off the air. I mean, it was a nice touch. And again, let me just say this. Drew versus Roman is a big-time matchup. It feels big-time. It should be big-time. Triple H, not Vince. I know I quoted it wrong earlier last month, but Triple H called it. It could be the next Rock, Austin, Hogan, Flair, which I laughed at. I'm sorry. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not going to be to that magnitude. You are delusional if you think it's going to be that big. I think people within WWE are trying to convince themselves it could be that big. Here, spoiler alert and reality check. You get a 2-for-1. No, it's not going to be that big. Rock Austin and Hogan Flair, particularly Rock Austin, it's never going to be matched. I'm not talking about the star power per se. I'm talking about the actual rivalry, what it meant, what it did for wrestling. It shaped wrestling. It was the hottest program almost ever. Maybe Austin McMahon was hotter, but you got to be kidding me. That's a laughable, laughable statement, because Rock Austin were already mega, mega stars before they had their, especially WrestleMania 17 and WrestleMania 19, which ended up being Austin's last match. They were mega stars before they even collided. And then they were peanut butter and jelly in the ring, as Austin said. Anyway, okay, moving on to something else that happened on SmackDown that I loved. And we can all say, hallelujah, that Rey Mysterio and Seth Rollins will never again be in a wrestling ring together, at least for the foreseeable future. I mean, listen, we've seen WWE in the past say it's the final chapter. And then they end up in a couple of months throwing these two back in the ring together. You want an example? You're like, no, that didn't happen. Really? Try Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens a few years ago. Again, those two worked together very well, and they said this is the final chapter of this rivalry, and then, you know, like, I don't know, it was a few months later, they ended up having a match or teaming and then turning on each other. I mean, it was this, I don't buy WWE's language on this, but at least for the long term, at least in the short term, it's the final chapter. I think we can all say thank you, Jesus, that this program is done. It's dead. It's over. I don't need to see Rey Mysterio's robotic wife with her two emotions that she has, which is either looks like she wants to cry or like mildly happy. I mean, that is the emotional range of Rey Mysterio's wife. And she just, I'm sure she's a nice lady. I'm talking about from a character perspective on TV. She is like a prototype humanoid robot. Seriously, it's like Skynet produced her. And, you know, she's hiding in the wilderness. She's kind of like hiding among us. She's just, and Aaliyah there. I mean, I don't really know what to think about it with her and Murphy. Like, whatever. I don't know how this is going to continue with them. But, you know, Rey Mysterio did end up shaking hands with Murphy after Murphy screwed Rollins in the match, as we all saw coming, and the announcers somehow didn't. It was a good match, long match. But good. These two have always worked well together. Two, you know, professionals in the ring. It's not a problem of story, or I'm sorry, not a problem of certainly in-ring quality or in-ring ability. Never has been, and it almost never is with WWE. It's usually story, right? It's story. Don't tell me that, oh, they tell their story in the ring. Yeah, but that is how they write the words, but you have to dictate the chapters. Where's it going? How you getting there? So don't tell me they tell their story in the ring. They do, to an extent, but that's not the whole story. So, pun intended, I guess. So, again, Murphy ends up making amends with the entire Mysterio family. And, hey, Dad doesn't have an eye anymore, but Mrs. Mysterio decides to give Murphy a hug. I mean, Merry Christmas, right? Merry Christmas early. That's, again, the emotional range of Rey Mysterio's wife. You know, hey, okay, you turned on Seth. All's forgiven. Yeah, my husband's eye. He's got two of them. He's got an extra. He's got a spare. So as long as he has one, we're cool. No problem. Let's all, you know, hug like we're going to send each other Christmas cards this year. Seriously. It was preposterous that she hugged him. Thank God this thing's over.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Can we just move on with our lives? Okay. And again, the match was fine. I had no problem with the match. Big E backstage does his silliness with the Street Profits, who also have their silliness. And again, I guess I'm a little bit biased because I really cannot stand the New Day character, nor can I stand the Street Profits characters. Nothing wrong in the ring. They're extremely athletic, all that kind of stuff. That's never the problem in WWE. The problem was always character-based and storyline-based. But Big E continuing his silly storyline of his silliness of being like the New Day. Right, he's still in the New Day character. He's still got his silly getup on, talking over dramatically, and like Big E and like Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston are still there. The Street Profits are equally as obnoxious in their own way, but again, this is my personal preference. If you like this stuff, then you probably like this segment. you probably enjoyed it. You probably found it entertaining and ha-ha knee-slapping, as Vince does probably in Gorilla, laughing at this, and everyone else is going, yeah, this is great, Vince. Yeah, this is ha-ha. I mean, like, really. That's why I feel like most people probably, you know, most people, logical people, approach this while they fake laugh with Vince laughing, legitimately. So, I'm just not a fan of this. And the sooner Big E sheds his skin of being a part of the New Day, the sooner he will excel. And I'm sure he's heard this message, and I'm sure maybe they're actually trying to find the right time to do it. Maybe they're trying to find the right time to actually drop the hammer on this character and make things a little more serious. And that, I'm sure they are. I mean, even Corey Graves has said it many times on air. So it's probably a message, or it is a message that has been delivered loud and clear. But boy, can they at least start to make a little progress instead of Big E just standing there, you know, as if Woods and Kofi are there. And I mean, I don't know. But okay, moving on to Sasha Banks as women's champion. And she came out to celebrate retaining her women's championship and begins to call out Carmella. Bayley interrupted and made her way down to the ring. But Carmella turned out to be the one actually ambushing Sasha, delivering a super kick to the champion. Boy, the super kick is like, it's like the new clothesline, isn't it? So Carmella, once again, is literally untouchable. Maybe that'll be a thing going forward. Honestly, a really good thing if you're a heel. Because the less you get touched, the more heat you build. Which is a profound concept in WWE land. But I have no problem. You know, I know that there are a lot of people out there that aren't fans of Carmella. You know, think that she is maybe a little bit overvalued or estimated, whatever the words are. And I would argue the opposite, that there is something there. We've seen it in her run with the women's championship the first time around. There is more there, and we have been educated to think about her with James Ellsworth or with R-Truth in these silly comedic roles. And but the thing is, I have remembered, and maybe you guys did too, of her run as women's champion was actually pretty good. She was good in the ring. She cuts a good heel promo. She is meant to be a heel. She is born to be a heel. Now she's got the red, like, I don't know if it's like a latex, some kind of latex wrestling gear, whatever it is. Bleach blonde hair. I mean, she's gone from like a kind of a brownish blonde to like bleach blonde. And I think it fits her. I think this fits her. I like this role with Carmella. I have no problem with this. It moves Sasha on from Bayley, which, again, I actually could have stretched this on for another month or two. But I guess maybe they just paused it to resume it later. But Carmella seems to be at the forefront, facing Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's Championship at some point. Certainly that is coming down the line. Sasha Banks has been okay since, as far as like being a babyface SmackDown champion, she's okay. I haven't got a whole lot from her. You know, the build or the payoff between Sasha and Bayley was, you know, barely passable of what they could have done and what they actually did. It was kind of a really startling of how much they dropped the ball on that. I mean, scary how much they dropped the ball, but maybe they're resuming it later. So there's the benefit of the doubt for you. And I like Carmella in the interim. I think that's a good thing. Apollo Crews and Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship this week. Sami cut a promo before the show talking about how many obstacles he's had to face as a returning champion, having to go through two future Hall of Famers just to restate that he is the Intercontinental Champion. And how... I think he said this last week, that he is the Intercontinental Champion, which is the champion of all continents, versus the United States Champion, who's just the champion of the United States. I mean, Sami Zayn is just a brilliant man on the mic. And in the ring, he's really good too. I mean, in the ring, we know what he can do. We've seen him in NXT. And him and Apollo Crews, this was a good match. I mean, it was for what it was. It was short. But we had Sami Zayn tie up Apollo's leg in the canvas ties, and he won via countout. I mean, it was great. Saying Sami Zayn, he said he only had about an hour before the show to prepare, as he was notified that he would be defending the Intercontinental Championship. Again, there you go. Another championship match. It's absurd. another championship match. I had forgotten about that, but Sami Zayn retains, and he goes on to face Bobby Lashley. As we, you know, did anyone have any doubt that this championship would change? Not change hands. So, okay, moving on to I'm trying to find something good here because I don't know why I'm ranting so much tonight. It's just some things are just silly. Oh, Liv Morgan. SmackDown, hashtag SmackDown Live, or at you only live once. So she gets the win on, who is it? Tamina. As we had Chelsea Green get injured and break her left wrist. She needs surgery. That's a real thing. It's not a storyline. It's on WWE.com. It's confirmed as well. But Liv Morgan beats Tamina in a triple threat to join the SmackDown women's team at Survivor Series. And I think this is a good thing for Liv Morgan, who certainly needs some kind of shot in the arm at this point in her career. You know, she's been tossed around from being part of the Riot Squad to being broken up to the Riot Squad to being back in it to being in her own kind of vignettes and then coming back, being Lana's weird lover that never went anywhere, and then kind of back with Ruby Riot, and then, like, she has been floating in the abyss for quite a while. And so this is a way to bring her back into relevancy, and I think it might be a good step in the right direction if you're a Liv Morgan fan, that she's on the SmackDown women's team. Then this is, again, a step in the right direction. It's a good sign about how they view Liv Morgan. Certainly she has been kind of the behind-the-scenes performer. Like, she hasn't got a whole lot of spotlight, and this could be a start of it. Do I expect her to have a big showing at Survivor Series and eliminate three women on Raw? No. But maybe she isn't the first person to get eliminated. I mean, I could see that happening, but as long as she doesn't get, again, squashed and beaten right away, that'll be a positive. I mean, like, that'll be a good thing, certainly. And I'm sure that Liv Morgan and Ruby Riot will have a face-off, I'm sure. I'm sure there'll be some kind of interaction there, no question about it. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see what that brings. Okay, the next thing on my list here, again, I'm really, really trying, but I got to cover it because you guys didn't get my thoughts on it, is the Otis versus Dolph Ziggler. But, of course, WWE and Vince has to continue to play on his weight and have a... So, for whatever reason, we have a camera shooting Otis, who's eating, I don't know, fried chicken or something backstage in catering. And we have Dolph Ziggler, who's talking trash about Otis. I mean, this is just, I don't know what to say about Otis anymore, as far as Vince McMahon's vision of him. And you know that Vince is going to have him, you know, have a drumstick in one hand and a bucket of gravy in the other at Thanksgiving.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs, because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's inevitable that that's what's going to happen for Thanksgiving. Otis is going to be dressed up as like a pilgrim, you know, backstage eating a mound of stuffing and rolls, and, you know, it's going to be embarrassing. It's going to be flat out embarrassing. And I mean, it's already embarrassing enough. We know Otis is a big man. Okay. I mean, that is literally the entire premise of Otis that Vince has focused on. He's got a jiggly belly. It literally can be boiled down to that simplistic. Don't believe me? What did he do during the Money in the Bank ladder match? What did he do? He had him go to a cafeteria. He had him start a food fight. Oh, gets my blood boiling thinking about it. How many times has he had him backstage eating something or spilling something on his beard or down his chest or eating a smoothie or a protein shake, and it's just a mess everywhere? And then this week they have him eating fried chicken, I think it was. I don't know. I didn't look that closely. It's, and during the matches, what does he do? Gyrate and make his belly jiggle and all the gyrations and silly crap that he does, and then wear shirts that are 8 sizes too small. So when I say I'm breaking it down to that basic, it is literally that basic, that Vince looks at him as, oh, he's got a jiggly belly. Let's do something with that. You know, I mean, seriously, it sounds extremely simplistic, but it's true. It's not my cup of tea. And if you enjoy this, you know, God bless you. Really. I mean, I'm not telling you not to. I'm giving you why I don't. I think that's fair. Again, you know, kind of touching on Raw a little bit this week, because I do want to, you know, recap a little bit of Raw. Running at Raw, it felt like the last couple weeks, it was just kind of tread water. It felt like they didn't know what to do. They had to fill a show. They know what they're going to do for the go home show, but they don't know what they're going to do, you know, 2 weeks before the go home show. And that's what it felt like the last couple of weeks. The Miz is your Money in the Bank winner per the win over Otis. So he is now the Money in the Bank briefcase holder. That leads you to think about, well, when does he cash in? Who does he cash in on? Well, it's going to be, you would think, if he stays on Raw, the WWE champion. Does he cash in on Randy Orton? I don't know. Does he cash in? Here's what I think is going to happen. I think that Edge is going to come back. He's going to take the championship from Orton. Maybe it's at WrestleMania. And then Miz cashes in on Edge. How about that? I know that's like 3 steps ahead. But it's possible. I am not a Miz fan. I think he embodies everything that's wrong with WWE in terms of a presentation standpoint. Not in-ring. In-ring, he's fine. Yeah, he's a good-looking dude. Fine, all that. But anyway, okay. Moving on, though, here's what I do like about AJ Styles, his associate. I love his associate. His associate is, I love his look, right? He's got the turtleneck with the gold chain. It's a throwback from an 80s movie, isn't it? A lot of 80s movie references I've been making lately, but that's exactly what it is. And I like the size discrepancy. It's hilarious. His associate doesn't say much, but he doesn't need to. He's extremely imposing. I love the dynamic. And we haven't got a whole lot of information about him, other than he doesn't like to be talked to or talked about or whatever. So I really, really like that. And I'm interested to see where that goes for sure. What else happened? I already talked about Lana and how I think that WWE is planning a big spot for her. If you didn't hear my Raw show, I'll kind of give you the cliff notes. I think Lana is going to be, because she's being sent through a table every single Monday Night Raw. It's like the 8th week in a row. So what I think they're doing is putting her in the bottom of the valley to do a turn at Survivor Series where she gets the win by luck. She will be the final competitor for her Raw team. And people will forget about her, or the announcers at least will. And it'll look like SmackDown wins, but maybe Lana comes back in with a roll-up and gets the victory for the women's team. And then she brags about how she is the one that won it for the women on Raw. That's how I envision this happening, because Lana is part of the team and she continues to get buried week after week. So that's what I think is going to happen. Let's see. Oh, boy. Riddle. Matt Riddle. I went on a rant on this on Monday. I don't want to duplicate that, but I will say that having a dude, having a guy, a performer, a wrestler, chop his name and just be Riddle, which is just silly. And having him come out and just give everyone nicknames that made no sense and were like, they are literally nicknames you would come up with in second grade. They're that sophomoric. They are that, they're that childish. They're not funny. And everyone's standing there in that segment in like a single file line, like good little soldiers. Everyone has to face the camera and stand in single file line. Go watch. This is the stuff that they don't think about in production, or they don't care. Oh, I just want to get the angle. You can't have them not looking at the camera. What about the cameraman that's walking around the ring? You have certainly more than one camera. Why does everyone have to always be facing the hard cam? Especially in a segment like this. I understand for your entrance, but for a segment like this, is everyone really going to stand single file? And what I'm talking about, the segment, it's a team meeting. Everyone's fighting over being team captain. Everybody, I'm team captain. No, you're a team captain. It's the silly, like middle school garbage. And that's just what it is. Good thing, again, I'm injecting as much positivity as I can right now. Alexa Bliss and The Fiend are killing it right now. No pun intended. They are absolutely killing it. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross had a hard split this Monday as she chose The Fiend over her. I like that. I like how Alexa Bliss is being just kind of just no empathy whatsoever. Just the kind of happy, giggly, evil like mindset that she's turned into. Where she's like, you know, she's sitting there with the flowers like, you know, he loves me, that kind of thing. And she just quickly says, I choose The Fiend. I mean, it's great. And I don't know what the end game is. People have asked me. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think WWE knows. But I'm on the ride even though they don't know because it's fun right now. And whatever the end game is, it's ultimately worth it because this exceeded any expectations anybody had. I mean, it just has. Kudos to Alexa Bliss. And congratulations to Alexa Bliss, by the way, who recently got engaged, I think it was last night, two nights ago, whatever, with Ryan Cabrera. They've been, together for a year, and then he proposed on the day that they met or started dating or whatever it was. So congratulations to Alexa Bliss as she takes that next step in her life of becoming a married woman. So one other thing that I wanted to talk about, too, is we have another show here. It's the WWE Rivalries, and this week with Anthony DeMarco, he did a rivalry show on CM Punk versus The Rock, and always well done. The audio clips he chooses, again, are just spot on, and it was a turn that CM Punk still disputes to this day and doesn't understand why they did it, or at least doesn't agree, understands why, and Anthony DeMarco actually... Our co-host does also explain why they did what they did, turning Punk heel. And I understand why they did too, but I don't know if I agree with it either. I guess it's as Anthony said, to piggyback on the show, that they did it because they were fearful of people cheering for Punk and booing Rock. So they tried to reverse that and get ahead of it by turning Punk heel and keeping Rock babyface. And I think it largely worked, I think that there was such an organic love for CM Punk that having him as a heel through and through wasn't going to ever be long-term successful. But it was great. It obviously, check out the show for the full review and his thoughts. It's WWE Rivalries that aired last Friday on CM Punk versus The Rock.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere.
You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Always well done, so check it out. Also, some other quick thoughts on Zelina Vega. She has said on her, I think it's her Twitch account, I think she's what she's on, said that you haven't seen the last of me. That's good. I hope we haven't. And I hope it means that you'll be back in a wrestling ring at some point. I don't know what that is. I don't know if there's a no-compete clause in the contracts with WWE. I'm not sure. But if there is, that means we'll probably have to wait a few months at least till we see Zelina Vega, if she's even been contacted. I know we all immediately have the knee-jerk reaction when someone leaves WWE that, oh, AEW, they're going to AEW, they're going to AEW. But AEW right now is, you know, they can be picky and choosy. Like, they have the power here. Do they need Zelina Vega, or does Zelina Vega need them? In this answer, I would say both. I think they both need one another. That's the best type of relationship. When they both need one another, not just one, you know, feels like they need that person more than the other one does. This one, I think, could be very mutually mutually beneficial. And I think she would fit right in perfectly with AEW. If that's what she chooses to do, I haven't heard anything, and nor has she tipped her hand into what she's going to do post-WWE. But there is so much to offer for her and from her that we haven't seen yet. And I really hope that this isn't the last time we see her in a wrestling ring, because I want her to just let loose. I want her to have the chains come off and just let her be whoever she is and cut a scalding promo, because she could cut a promo better than most of the men on the roster. That is true. That's a fact. When Zelina Vega spoke, you listened. You didn't feel like she was playing a character. She was looked authentically like a total B word, right? I can't swear on the podcast that we're PG, but I mean that in a very complimentary way, that she authentically felt that way. And you do not feel that with most of the stars on the roster, wrestlers on the roster, because you're not just a star because you're on the roster, right? Anybody else ever dig into that, into like why they call them superstars rather than wrestlers? Anybody ever think about that? I do. I think about that a lot, actually, because it's, you're not a superstar off the bat. You're a wrestler. If you become a star from wrestling, then you're a star. But to just automatically be labeled as a superstar, that's a little inaccurate. I mean, it just is. Like, there are many people who have come and gone from wrestling that they would refer to them as superstars that you probably don't even remember who they are. Those aren't superstars. Those are just wrestlers on the roster. Stars are much more rare. Okay, see, I'm going off the freaking deep end tonight. I am just, like, super fired up about SmackDown. I mean, again, some really good stuff going on with Roman Reigns and Jey Uso. I've said that week after week, as many other shows have, so it's not original, but that is a really good thing going on. Liv Morgan, if you're a Liv Morgan fan, hey, got some good stuff going on. But man, oh man, the fact that they just don't explain people coming over to their opposing brand show, especially when they're in the middle of setting up for a 5-on-5 Survivor Series matchup, and all the other champion versus championship matches, there's no hostile environment. If this was such a true rivalry, do you think Drew McIntyre would have been welcome there? Wouldn't he have been attacked by the SmackDown stars? Just ridiculous, folks. It's ridiculous. And people, again, I know the criticism coming my way. People would say, oh, just enjoy it. You're taking the fun out of it. Nah. No, I'm not. You know why? because I enjoy entertainment that makes sense. I don't want to have a brain transplant or take my brain completely out of my head to have to watch something to enjoy it. I require basics. That's all. Basics in entertainment. And just abiding by your own rules. And not insulting my intelligence. I think those are pretty reasonable requests to ask of WWE. And they repeatedly violate those. And fans seem to just not care or are just complacent about it or just don't vocalize it. Guys, we need to say something. We need to get on social media. I know you don't think it makes a difference. I know WWE checks this stuff. I'm telling you right now. And if they see a trend, then I think they'll respond to it. But okay, well, I've said my piece on that and I'm going to get on a rant again, but I won't do it. So with all of that said, guys, has been a fun week in review, albeit a very passionately ranting one, if that makes sense. I don't want to say negative. I just say constructive criticism because that's kind of what we are. Like, I'll love the product forever. But hey, I'm glad you guys found the show or you're back for the show. Tell a friend if you love us. We have a new co-host coming on shortly. I will make an announcement when things are finalized. But that'll be a really fun deal. And Tuesday's your Raw review. I have a co-host coming on for that. Wednesday's Nostalgia. And the rest of the week is just jam-packed with shows as well as we lead up to the Survivor Series pay-per-view, which is a week from tonight that comes your way. And of course, we'll be doing a preview and prediction show, a full preview and prediction show Saturday night. We'll be dropping that show for you so you can get the predictions and listen to them before the show on Sunday. So if you'd like to reach out to the show, realwwepodcast@gmail.com, or you can always send us a voicemail. Not as many as last week, but I'm not complaining. If you guys want to voice your opinions, this is for you. This is not for me. This is all for you guys. That number is 518-952-0247. We do have a few voicemails as I'm looking in the box right now. So not too full. We'll be doing a show later in the week on any voicemails you guys send us. So feel free to reach out. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. And as always, I'll talk to you next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.